Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged on least, but it's all twisted wrong and beat.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And boy, quite a day yesterday. We had this shooting at the condominium complex where you had PPD responding and a guy comes out and shoots at them and they return fire and wind up having to, you know, well, ultimately he winds up dying. David was on the scene yesterday for that incident. Terrible thing to have happen all around. And then you have this, you remember the... If you've been paying attention to the news, you know, and if you don't know, well, okay. A little while back, 2 weeks ago, I think it was the 30th of January, so three Fridays ago, you had this horrible accident on Scenic Highway where a guy apparently crossed the middle line and somebody else avoided him, ran off the road, and two of the people in that car wound up dying. Well, subsequently, that guy has been arrested for, what, DUI manslaughter now, two different charges. But the story about him had been that prior to that, earlier in the day, even during the daylight, you know, so this was an evening thing. And then in the daylight earlier, he had actually been not stopped, but there had been a call related to him asleep at the wheel in the street on the west side of Pensacola. And, you know, obviously, most people connect all of these things in your head and you think, well, if he's asleep at the wheel in this case, maybe he was already in, you know, impaired at that time. And, you know, that's a theory that you would have about it. And, well, what happened in that situation? Well, Escambia County Sheriff's Office has now put out the body cam video of the deputies responding to that. They were actually second on the scene. EMS had been called because when somebody's passed out in their car, you don't know whether it's, you know, is that a medical issue? Is that a DUI? Is that, I mean, just somebody fell asleep? It's, you know, you really can't know for sure until you get there. But so dispatch was called, and then they dispatched EMS.
3-5-51, they assist EMS, W and Maxwell.
10-4, it's going to be at Mobile and W. EMS 51 for a male who was slumped over in a Jeep with a black top. He's now awake. I have no idea what they need yet.
So what you have in the video that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office released is you have an EMS woman who's, you know, responded and has already been talking with the driver. And then you have a female deputy and a male deputy. And I don't know whether the male was a supervisor or just second on the scene. It's not quite clear. But you see the body camera from him. Unfortunately, in his body camera, I mean, you really can't understand anything that's happening for the most part. But then, you know, too much ambient noise. And then you get the body camera from her as well. So at one point, she's gotten an ID from the driver, and she goes back to her cruiser to run the ID. And they're kind of talking about, you know, he kind of arrives there, and they're kind of talking about what she's doing.
What are you doing?
I'm just running them.
EMS leaving?
Yeah, I guess he answered all the questions right. And he was like, all I did was I was looking down, and then they got mad and thought I was asleep.
Does it seem like he's intoxicated?
He's talking funny, but I don't know if he just talks funny. He's kind of an old guy. You know what I mean?
So she's already had one interaction with him. She's running his ID. He asks if he's intoxicated. She says she doesn't know. He talks funny, but it could be that he's, you know, somehow affected, whether through narcotics or through drinking, or just he could just talk that way. You know, sometimes people mumble their words, slur their words, talk weird. That just happens. So here's an example of the way he was talking, just so you can kind of, it's hard to hear because there's a lot of background noise. And part of the challenge of evaluating this incident. Again, this is prior to the crash. This is a completely separate incident. This was a Scambia County sheriff responding in the county over on the west side before the accident that was caused later on Scenic.
Okay, as long as you're going to drive, just make sure you're paying attention,
no, okay? No. Actually, I was trying to figure out how far away it was to stop. And then I got a message, like, where the heck am I? And I'm like, oh, no. I told her I was by his side. I was going to nurse, and it was like, I didn't have the wherewithal to, like, all the way. So I apologize.
So he sounds like somebody who could be inebriated. He sounds like somebody who could just be a little scattered. He sounds like somebody who might just talk that way. I've met people who just sound like that. And it's really, really hard to tell. And she wants to make sure he's not impaired.
He's answered all my questions. I asked where he's going, year, city, all that stuff.
So the EMS is saying, you know, I asked him questions. He answered all of her questions. He gave her the kind of answers that indicate it's not any kind of a medical event. She doesn't express any concern about his condition to drive or anything like that. And, you know, is that her responsibility or not? It's not entirely clear to me. But, you know, she's saying that, you know, he's kind of passed her check marks that she has to sign off on, basically.
He saw my son. He was a bicycle at 28,000.
Okay, well,
that guy.
You're good. All right. You ever had anything to drink?
You guys are awesome.
You haven't had anything to drink today?
No.
No narcotics?
No, I haven't.
You've never? Okay.
I'm a top credential paramedic in the state.
And then it goes on talking about some, I couldn't even understand what he was talking about. But again, it's not clear whether that's the result of intoxication or just people have, you know, I mean, you know, it doesn't even mean that they're cognitively impaired. It could just be that they're weird, you know, and the world's full of weird people. And, you know, trying to think through what this officer is processing there. And then he says he's going to a hotel, and she says,
All right, how about you just get on to your hotel, okay?
And so he gets in his car and pulls away, and we don't see this footage, but apparently she followed him for a little while in order to make sure that he was fine, you know, wasn't driving erratically. The sheriff's office puts out this note, says, the recent arrest of Wayne Scott Dines for DUI manslaughter charges by the PPD has prompted questions regarding our deputy's interaction with the driver prior to the crash. On January 30th, Scambia County Sheriff's Office called to assist EMS in a medical call involving him. Two deputies responded to the scene and, along with EMS personnel, interact with the individual. During the interaction, deputies detected no odor of alcohol. That's your first check mark. Second, they evaluated the positioning of the vehicle along with the driver's coherence and awareness. You know, was he parked across the yellow line? Was he parked, you know, at an angle? Or was he just kind of parked like a normal person who, you know, had some weird thing happen to him when he's pulling up to the light? One deputy proceeded to follow him for no point during the interaction, the deputies determined that there was any reasonable suspicion of impairment. The driver was medically evaluated and cleared by EMS. Following the evaluations, the call was concluded without further incident. Additionally, when Dines left the intersection, one deputy proceeded to follow him for about 2 minutes without noticing signs of impairment. As a matter of transparency, we've included the dispatch transmission and body-worn camera footage from both responding deputies. Our thoughts and prayers with the families impacted by the tragic events that occurred later that evening. County is the one who runs EMS, and so, you know, their perspective on this has not been given, at least not yet that I know of. The thing that people are raising the question about is, should the deputies have known better? Should the deputies have known he was impaired? Could they have done a field sobriety test? Could they have asked him more probing questions? Did they do enough to make sure that he was safe to drive? Because if you do think that somebody is not safe to drive, you don't follow them for a couple of minutes, you find out more before you let them get behind the wheel of a car. And I actually, you know, my thought when I was watching this thing is, I'm like, well, I hope she's going to at least follow him for a little while afterwards, which she did. But, you know, if it's worth following afterwards, is it worth doing more ahead of time to see if there's any sign of impairment before you actually let him drive off? You know, because that's not a standard test for impairment, is letting somebody drive, because that's the worry, is that they're impaired. I don't know what the right answer is on this. I think figuring out whether somebody gives you enough threshold indicators that you should be conducting a sobriety test on them, I think is a kind of it's a difficult thing. Because she's exactly right. When you're talking to somebody, it can be really hard to know. If they don't smell like alcohol, it's hard to know. Are they drunk? Are they just weird? Have they had a stroke recently? They're okay to drive, but they can't talk quite right. I mean, it just, and some people, Some people just have very unclear patterns of speech. They're literally almost impossible to understand. And so what do you do? I don't know. We'll talk to the sheriff about it on Tuesday, of course. But it's a horrifying thing to imagine. I'm sure this, you know, these deputies and this EMS person are, I mean, I can't imagine. You could have potentially stopped somebody before they're later on going to cause the death of two citizens. You know, we're all looking at it thinking, man, this is awful. I'm sure the family is looking at it thinking, my God, you know, and the people that were involved, same reaction. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return.
But I haven't.
One in four tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
One in four was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
There's no championship league for small business owners. But if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night party in downtown Pensacola. But move to around Plaza Ferdinand, Government, and surrounding area due to construction on Palafox. Enjoy the art vendors, music, food, and the fun of the Pensacon theme. Saturday, check out the Palafox Market from 9 till noon. North Palafox will be filled with farm fresh produce, plants, baked goods, and more with over 200 vendors. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You got change for 100?
If I had a perfect day, I would have it start this way. Open up the fridge and have a tall boy. Yeah. Then I'd meet up with my friends.
Good song. I just kind of want to listen. Let's get to the hook. Hey, 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. If you'd asked me, I don't know, 20 years ago when the music was coming out, you know, I like The Offspring, but Green Day was always kind of, they got more attention. And now, having gone back and done more sort of excavation and listening to more music by both bands, The Offspring is the band, and Green Day is like, man, you know. Although they were really good at the, you know, the Super Bowl. But I do think it was weird that the most anti-establishment, anti-commercial pop band of the 90s sold out and performed at the biggest commercial extravaganza in world history.
That's really bothering you, I could tell.
It is. It's so... I mean, it's
like the
weird.
Third or fourth time we've talked about this. So
it's crazy. Like, you know, I don't know. It's like if The Clash was performing at the presidential inauguration or something. Oh. It's just, I can't, you know. Sex Pistols for your bar mitzvah. It just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning. I'm David Wayne.
He is David Wayne.
He is David Wayne.
Good morning. I'm David Wayne.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that where you...
So we've heard three times now.
I apologize for that, gentlemen. I'm assuming you're coming over here to my newsroom because you'd like some headlines.
Sure.
All right. Well, police in the UK conducting a raid on the home of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the former Prince Andrew, a member of the British royal family. Apparently, he's now been taken into custody on suspicion of misconduct in public office. This comes as there's been an investigation opened into whether he shared sensitive information with Jeffrey Epstein when he was a UK trade envoy.
Yeah, apparently completely unconnected from the sex trafficking island of disgusting things, just like more of an insider trading kind of issue.
Right. But we know what got the ball rolling on this one.
Also, I don't know if you noticed this, but do you know what today is? It's his 60th birthday.
Oh, no.
So
well, happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, go on, David. What else?
Sure. A U.S. military buildup is underway in the Middle East for possible strikes on Iran. NBC News says the buildup includes warships, air defenses, and submarines. Just in case the president decides on a military strike, a senior administration official said Wednesday that no final decisions had been made on military action. And
I'm still trying to wrap my brain a little bit around the submarines part, but okay. I mean, you know, are they submarines that are designed to work against surface vehicles, you know, surface craft? That's one thing. We do not talk about the other kind of submarines or where they are ever.
Right.
You know, we just don't talk about that. At all. So, anyway, go ahead, David.
Team USA took home some medals in the Winter Games on Wednesday. Jake Cantor took the bronze in the men's snowboarding slopestyle final. The men's cross-country skiing team captured silver. They finished second in the free final. And Michaela Schifrin won the gold in the women's slalom.
Yeah, no, Mikhail's fantastic. And, you know, great to see her get a gold. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 525 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of an interesting little, you know, military tech update. I was every day I go through this list of all the websites that I visit in order to get information, and there's local ones, and there's national ones, and then there's, you know, funny ones, and then there's law ones, and there's international ones. And then eventually at the bottom of my list, not because it's least important, but it just happens to typically be the last one that I go to, is all the places like, you know, military.com and, you know, Navy sites and Task and Purpose and some of these. Well, very interesting stuff that I find there periodically. Defense One's another really good one. The Army has now successfully tested a round it's a type of munition that's designed to be used in a 30-millimeter gun like they have on the Apache, and it's designed to explode in air instead of hit the target, and so it's designed to take out drones and drone swarms. So the 30-millimeter gun is, that's an autocannon. That's a bad gun. Think one version of the 30-millimeter gun is the Gau 8 that's basically they built the A-10 around, the Thunderbolt. They built the gun, and then they built the plane to carry the gun. Because the job of that plane is to carry that gun, you know, among other things, but that is the real job of that plane. And so same dimensions or same kind of caliber, basically, 30-millimeter round. That's big, by the way. That's, 30 millimeters is 3 centimeters. So think of a round that at its, you know, the bullet essentially is a little bit more than an inch wide. I know these terms. Like, if you understand them, it's fine. If you don't understand them, then here's the idea. So that bullet is like, 9 or 10 inches long. A regular bullet is a couple of inches long. The bullet that the A-10 or the, you know, Apache carries is, it's big. So this bullet is designed to explode in the air to do kind of like a grenade effect to destroy the drones. And they've tested it, and it works. So the theory is there a way that you can use existing platforms like the Apache helicopter that if a drone swarm is coming, basically the pilot can aim at the drone swarm, send off a salvo, and destroy all the drones with exploding munitions in the air? And you don't have to really train him in any new thing because he's just using the gun that he's got available to use. Now, you've always got the challenge of loading the type of round that you're going to use in the scenario, because the kind of round that you would use, let's say, against tanks is completely different than the kind of round that you would use against drones. Because the tank round, you want it to penetrate through that thick armor, which is hard to do, but can be done. That's what that gun is built for. The kind of gun that you'd use against a plane is arguably, you know, interchangeable. But the round that you'd use against the drones is different. So you kind of got, it's not like you're in the air and you'd be like, munition type A, B. It's not like in a tank where you can kind of pick as you're going. But good news, because this is a weapon that theoretically is a simple way for us to be able to defend against drones and drone swarms, which we know are kind of the biggest current innovation space for military hardware. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, this is, I just thought this was a neat note. This was a small little thing. It came from Florida West, Chris Plate, who is the executive director of Florida West. That's the economic development agency here in Escambia County. And he was talking at the Agenda Conference. It was not this Monday, but it was last Monday. And he made this comment during a presentation about where they are and what they're doing and how they can partner with the city as well as representing the county.
We're looking to modernize the county's E-Date program. Right now, it is, it's got to be 20 years old. So the criteria is very low for them to qualify. You know, part of our job is not only to bring jobs, but it's also to bring new money to the city and the county. And so we don't want to give away 100% of that. So we're going to put much higher thresholds in place so that the county and the city can retain more money through the E-Date program.
So E-Dates are an economic development ad valorem tax exemption. But you hear them as, this is like what we use with Navy Federal or what was done with Southtown Apartments, where you grant them an exemption from paying property tax, ad valorem tax exemption, for 10 years, I think, is kind of the standard for this, and it's usually at 100%. So they don't pay any tax, property taxes for 10 years. Well, what he's saying is, first of all, we need to have more nuance available. You know, we don't have to always give them 100%. And it needs to be a higher threshold. We've been handing these out, you know, too easily. And they ought to be used as a real, genuine enticement and certainly not an entitlement. And so I love the idea of looking at, you know, well, can we give 20% for 4 years instead of 100% for 10 years or whatever? So just the idea that he wants to change that and make it more effective. Great.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The former Prince Andrew has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office linked to the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking case.
Officers reportedly arrived at a royal estate in eastern England earlier this morning to make the arrest. Andrew is in custody and investigators are carrying out searches at addresses in Berkshire and Norfolk.
Fox's Chandler Painter, authorities said to be assessing reports Andrew shared confidential UK trade documents with Epstein in 2010. Andrew denies wrongdoing. World leaders and representatives from over 40 nations converging on our nation's capital today for the Board of Peace created by President Trump. And day 19 in the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, the reward for information doubles. An anonymous donor matches the $100,000 from the FBI. The total now over $202,000. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 68 degrees. We'll get to our forecast. That's up with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, a man's dead after an officer-involved shooting yesterday in Pensacola. Police say they responded to reports of a man firing shots at the Carlton Palms condominiums on Garden Street. That happened about 3:40 Wednesday. Officers found the suspect in a parking lot carrying a weapon. Police say he refused multiple orders to drop the gun. Officers opened fire.
Was immediately struck and went down. First aid was given to him, and he has since been transported to the hospital.
That's PPD's Mike Wood. Now, that suspect was taken to the hospital and then passed away about 45 minutes later. Nobody inside the building was hurt. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating the shooting. The officers involved have been placed on paid administrative leave. A Spring Hill, Florida man was arrested in connection with a double fatal crash on Scenic Highway. 60-year-old Wayne Scott Dines faces two counts of DUI manslaughter and a DUI crash involving serious bodily injury. Police say Dines was driving a blue Jeep January 30th when he crossed the center line near Rothschild Drive and then hit another vehicle. One victim died at the scene. The second, days later at the hospital, Dines was arrested in Spring Hill and is being extradited back to Pensacola to face charges. Well, a state trooper is dead after suffering an apparent medical emergency in Gadsden County. Highway Patrol, the Florida Highway Patrol says that Michael Diego died during training in Havana. He'd been with FHP since 2021. Diego leaves behind a fiance, a mother, and a sister. Governor Ron DeSantis is trying to build support for adding an amendment to the Constitution. He was in Kentucky yesterday meeting with state lawmakers. The governor said he wants Kentucky to be the 29th state to pass a resolution in support of a federal balanced budget amendment. He says Americans across the board support balanced budgets, and he doesn't believe it's a partisan issue. The governor wrote on X, "We have to hold Congress to the same standards as we adhere in our households, communities, and states." Florida Senator Rick Scott is trying to close what he's calling a dangerous program from the Biden and Obama years. Scott introduced the One Nation, One Visa Policy Act yesterday, calls for banning Chinese nationals from entering the U.S. without a valid visa and making sure that they can't take part in any visa-free travel programs. He says that this is in response to an Obama-era visa program that allows Chinese nationals fast-track access to U.S. citizenship and lets them exploit the U.S. surrogacy program. Scott says the reckless program allowed the Chinese nationals to establish a backdoor breeding ground to infiltrate the nation. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing temperatures warming up as we head into your afternoon near 76 degrees. 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. For Friday, 70% chance of some showers, high near 77. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Going into Saturday, 60% chance of rain, high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 68 degrees, clear skies, looking like it's going to be a nice day. Our next news at 6. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Mark Zuckerberg and opposing lawyers dueled in a Los Angeles courtroom where the Meta CEO answered questions about young people's use of Instagram. Zuckerberg's testimony is part of an unprecedented social media trial that questions whether Meta's platforms deliberately addict and harm children. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman says Chinese tech companies' progress is amazingly fast. Altman's comments come as China races against the U.S. to develop AGI and roll out the technology across society. He also said OpenAI could look to roll out Instagram-style adverts within ChatGPT as the company looks to develop revenue streams. Figma shares surged 15% in extended trading after the design software maker reported robust results and quarterly guidance that Wall Street had predicted. Figma's revenue grew 40% year over year in the fourth quarter. The company will start enforcing monthly limits on artificial intelligence use in March. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, oh, oh.
I made a simple statement. If I have to choose between having my dog and you living here and taking my dog away, the choice isn't hard. You can leave and go home. And the fact of the matter is, the world went crazy. And what's fascinating is all the Democrats that have attacked me, not a single one has said you have the right to own a dog. They are all coming down on you can lead your dog to slaughter if that's what we have to do to make Muslim immigrants happy in the United States.
Now, I know we have not covered this, so you might be wondering what in the world even who is that? That's Randy Fine, former, state representative in Florida. He is now the congressman in Florida. And the short version of the history here is that this woman, Nardine Kiswani, posted how dogs definitely have a place in society, just not as indoor pets. She is a Muslim. This is in New York. Like we've said all along, they are unclean. Various versions of this, even to the point of, you know, maybe we need to slaughter all the dogs. I don't think that she said that, but that's kind of how this has been interpreted. In order to make New York safe for the Muslims who it offends having dogs around. Dogs in Islam are not preferred. They're viewed as impure and dirty. You're not supposed to keep them in the house, but they are not haram. They are not forbidden. In any case, as a response to that, Randy Fine puts on X, well, if they force us to choose, the choice between dogs and Muslims is not a difficult one. And then Gavin Newsom, resign now, you racist slob, and others. Hakeem Jeffries, I believe, is actually calling for a censure against him. His response to Leader Jeffries was to picture him with a sombrero on. That's a callback to other things you would know only if you follow Twitter a lot. In any case, lots of people are upset about Randy Fine, and Randy Fine is basically saying, look, I'd rather we're able to keep dogs. We shouldn't be catering to Islamists by getting rid of them and so forth. All right, so all that's your backdrop. Happy Wednesday morning. Congressman Petronas, Jimmy Petronas, is our congressman of Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Bruce, Hakeem Jeffries, his crew wants you out of the house.
Yeah. So apparently the Democrats want Randy Fine out, and you've had a conversation with him. Any insight, any perspective, any response?
No, his phone's been blowing up over the last 24 hours over this unbelievable ridiculousness of where they have taken a position against dogs. I tell you, so I'm standing with Randy. I'm not going to vote to censure him. I think these guys are just being, you know, this is the type of ridiculousness that we have in Washington, D.C., and stunts like this will ultimately end up in an email fundraising post by Hakeem Jeffries and Gavin Newsom in order to try to raise money. That's the seriousness of these jacklegs in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think Randy sometimes, you know, the way he says things with some of the things he does, I do not agree with, and I wouldn't have said this myself, but also, is this the end of the world?
You might. I think you love dogs.
I did have to think to myself, you know, if somebody said your dog or, and I'm like, I don't know. I'd kind of like to not have to make either choice. All right, let's move on to substantial things. I just knew that was, you know, hot in D.C. right now, so I figured we'd bring it up.
Sure.
The DHS shutdown. First of all, I don't really understand why all the other entities have been brought into this. I totally understand why. I mean, I don't agree with, but I totally understand why the Democrats are upset about particularly CBP. But why not pass a bill that funds everything, you know, Coast Guard, for goodness sakes, you know, instead of, and, you know, instead of just the CBP isolated as itself? Is that not even possible?
So right now, the House, we have done our job. We have passed a bill funding these agencies, okay? And ICE is already funded. It got funded through the one big bill. The one particular component of the entire argument that the Democrats are making is because of the rally cry of what their base wants to have disagreement with regarding ICE. And they want masks on law enforcement. Yeah. And they ask mass remove off law enforcement, and they want the search warrant or the arresting warrant process changed. To me, I think definitely masks is a non-starter. The agitators that are out there, the ones that are causing, you know, pushback, they're all wearing masks. They're using things that we don't know that ultimately could end up harming our law enforcement, the doxing that's taking place, you know. But I think, you know, the president and Tom Homan, and I like to remind people, Andrew, this is the same Tom Homan that under the Obama administration got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, okay? So, I mean, so the president, as some folks don't want to say, Tom Homan is polarizing. Tom Homan is just a public servant doing his job. I mean, and even the previous president of the United States recognizes that. So, anyway, frustrating of where they're just politicizing this. The president has totally, you know, de-escalated the situation, and now it just becomes a position of them wanting to try to raise money for the midterms.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I actually—
It has nothing to do about policy. Nothing. Nothing to do about policy.
You know, I listened to the entire congressional hearing from last week, or maybe it was a week before. I don't know. The one with all the heads of ICE and CBP. By the way, ICE instead of CBP. Thank you for clarifying. I had said the wrong thing. And I learned a lot in that, particularly about Tom Homan and about how things have changed now that he's taken over. And so it is very, very interesting. The one thing that's come up about the masks that I thought was an interesting idea was, because I don't like the masks on law enforcement, but I understand the other side as well, the concern.
Sure.
Something like the HALO law that requires you to be 20 feet away or 25 feet away from a law enforcement involved in an act, you know, that's true in Florida. Why not make that a federal thing? That might also help. And I understand it's more complicated where the local law enforcement's not doing their job of helping, you know, keep the peace kind of thing. So more complicated
exactly,
than that.
Exactly.
You had a couple of visitors in the last week. One I know was Ryan Jenkins. He is regularly on our station, a good friend.
Yep.
And we love the work that he does and who he represents, trying to, you know, preserve farmland, do something to help the farmers. Man, the farmers have been getting killed by the tariffs and other things, but also just preserving farmland for the future. You're working on this, considering ideas. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so we had a great visit last week. He and some of the folks from Farm Bureau just trying to think outside of the box of some ways to make sure we keep the economy in Northwest Florida diversified, that there's a future for farming in Northwest Florida. I think we kind of came up with some back of the napkin type ideas. So y'all just sit tight. We've got some pretty cool things we're trying to work on. But just a delightful visit. And I can't stress enough to everybody that's listening. You know, if you have an opportunity with work or family or whatnot to come to DC, you need to let us know that you're coming up and let us show you, you know, what your city is all about. We're very proud of the work that we do. But more importantly, we are very incredibly honored to be able to represent y'all. And we'd love to, like I said, let you know that D.C. is a safe place to come and visit and an amazing place to bring your family. So,
you know, on the issue of farmland protection, I actually think this is a very easy sell for the president if he doesn't already grasp it. He's a real estate guy. He gets the value of land. He would understand that, you know, it's more profitable to sell the land to be developed than it is to farm it. He would also understand the importance of supply chain and, you know, national defense, having a food source that we can count on in times of turmoil. So I would think that if you can find something that works, the president would be on board because it fits all the check boxes that he would normally care about. So, you know, I don't think you got to sell him much on it. Johnson Beach, we talked about this last week. Any progress on getting a daily rate there? Talk to the Interior, anything?
So we started a dialogue again. What I was telling Commissioner Kohler, I was just, you know, a lot of this stuff, you don't, if I'm not a frequent user of Johnson Beach, you don't realize some of the things that are being challenged there or how the spike of traffic is. But But I'm also a big believer, by God, if this is public land, why are we charging people? Why can't we make it easier? So I've got my full sympathy of trying to work on a solution of where we're going to change the way business is being done. I know there's probably those out there that feel like, gosh, we got to slow down the traffic, so let's just charge a bigger weekly fee as a deterrence for extra foot traffic. And I'm sure they have historical numbers that reflect the importance of this. But you know what? At the end of the day, this isn't for one person to dictate yes or no. You're not going to be on, quote, my beach. This is the public's beach. So, stay tuned. We're going to continue to roll our sleeves up and try to help them out.
That's great. I love Fort Pickens. I love Johnson Beach, but we only ever go on the free days because it's so expensive to go for even a single, it's just not worth the money when you can go to elsewhere. You guys are also, I think Colton Wright was there working with the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition, work on military stuff. It seemed like the Whiting, the NAS Whiting Field land deal for their one field next to the industrial complex, right, in exchange for entering into this agreement where they can provide services and not have to go through the Defense Department procurement. That seems like a sweet deal for everybody. Is that something you think can actually happen?
We've got to continue thinking outside of the box for all those overdue needed infrastructure issues on all these installations. I'm sorry, the Pentagon just does not move the way the private sector does or even local government does. So we've got to be leaning forward to try to be more innovative in order to get this infrastructure rebuilt, moved, flipped, you name it, where it makes sense. And I love the idea. Again, stay tuned as I just learned really about this opportunity and we're working on it.
Yeah, these intergovernmental services agreements, I just think they're a genius solution to the problem of you just sure. can't turn the Pentagon anywhere near like you can turn the local government in terms of getting things done. And I love the idea. Any news on the possibility of the Coast Guard's training facility coming to NAS Pensacola? I assume that's still it's a Pentagon and, time is in years and not days, right?
Yeah, working on it, the challenge is can we compete with a timeline of where there is another competing destination campus that already has more infrastructure in the ground. So that's the biggest thing. A lot of times these opportunities are won and lost by who has more already built infrastructure and does not have to compete with starting with a clear site versus purposed site that could be utilized. So again, I don't know enough about the competition of what we're competing with, but we're definitely trying to wrap our arms around it because I think it's just amazing that we get this incredible piece of real estate right there on the bay that we could turn into a campus.
Yeah, and I think Colton mentioned
the other challenge is the campus the Coast Guard wants is they wanted a temporary campus. It's just for a few years in order to do the necessary changes, I guess, up in New Jersey. So. I do feel like there's a business decision also at hand too. So.
Oh, okay. See, I did not realize it was only going to be a temporary thing, but that does change the nature of it. I just thought it was hilarious as Colton was telling me that there's a landlocked facility that's trying to get. I'm like, for the Coast Guard training? Okay. That's weird.
It's actually a beautiful campus. So, that's the challenge you've got. They already got classrooms, they got dorms, they got, meal halls, all that stuff already in place. And again, I don't know if they're actively or it's just been suggested as this could be a potential site because hell, this campus just closed in 2024.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like it's a dilapidated.
It's not dilapidated,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting. You are so much more intriguing on a Wednesday versus a Monday. Evidently, you must have got some good sleep last night. Monday.
Actually, low sleep. I don't know. I can't really explain it. That's funny.
I got to lead you along, it seems like today you're leading along. So whatever you do, I think you should keep it up.
Do more of it on a Monday. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, running all around the district yesterday, being busy, which I appreciate. That saw you on Channel 3 last night as well. Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you guys. Have a great week.
All right.
Wednesday, go get your ashes.
Yes, that's for sure. If you're Catholic or Methodist or Lutheran or Episcopalian, if you participate in that. Yeah, and the reason I said that yesterday, obviously yesterday was Ash Wednesday, is, you know, within Christendom, within, you know, the world of Christianity, not everybody does the Ash Wednesday, not everybody does Lent, not, you know, I mean, we're Protestants, you know, some people do one thing, some people, if there's a thing you do, there's probably another church that does the exact opposite. That's kind of the nature of modern Protestantism. So a lot of your denominations don't do anything for those things. Hey, if you need a roof or you're not sure whether you need a roof, that's why you call Quality Roofing Solutions. They will, you know, 10,000 roofs that they have replaced since 2006. Brian Ward started the company here to help people, you know, do the basic things you want them to do, which is save them money, do the work right, talk to you like you're a person, not make you feel icky in your interactions, which is kind of a theme for me. I like companies that make you feel good about what you're getting from them, especially in industries where a lot of times you don't feel great about those interactions. You know, contractors, a lot of times you kind of don't love that experience, right? Well, they're designed to make it better. 4.9 rating on Google. In fact, I just had a good friend had her roof replaced, and she was telling me they were great. You know, they did what they said they're going to do. They followed up with me. They did the work. It's fantastic. I mean, you know, very, very satisfied, which is what you want. You basically, you want somebody who's going to do the job, do it right, and make you feel like you got your money's worth, and that's what they do. A lifetime warranty on their roofs, which is unbelievable. Give them a call today at 777-0961 or check them out online, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
The Visit Pensacola Sunbelt Championships presented by Air Force Reserve is back at the Pensacola Bay Center March 3rd through the 9th. Single game tickets are on sale now as low as $15 for an adult ticket. Stop by the Bay Center box office or go to visitpensacola.com/sunbelt to buy those tickets and get more information about our tournament promotional schedule. And make sure you join us Saturday, March 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a free fan fest with food, music, and fun for all ages. We'll see you there.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one- and two-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star-rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one-bedroom apartments for $849 and two bedrooms at $1049 with no application fee. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I tried to sort through what Doc Schwartz had said, but prison ain't the easiest place to think.
By the way, if you're wondering what we're talking about there toward the end of the Jimmy Patronus interview we did yesterday and replayed just now, Urbana University in Ohio is the place that they were talking about, he was talking about as just recently being shuttered, so it hasn't really fallen apart yet. And that's the place in Ohio. They are, you know, and Great Lakes is already in that vicinity. So, I mean, that's already in Ohio. So you can kind of see why there might be some press for that if it's a usable facility, already exists, and it's relatively close to the existing, you know, structures that they use for training, doing the boot camp for the Coast Guard. 5:57 on News Radio. I mean, I hope we get it here. I'm just kind of, you know, fleshing out the picture for you. There's a couple of other locations as well that they're looking at. Tim Scott, I think, in South Carolina wants to get it there. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is a location also that they're considering. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. U.S. military buildup underway in the Middle East for possible strikes on Iran. That buildup reportedly including warships, air defenses, and submarines, just in case the president decides on a military strike. A senior administration official said yesterday that no final decisions on that had been made. The reward is growing for information leading to the arrest of those involved in the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. Arizona authorities said Wednesday that an anonymous donation of $100,000 is being offered alongside the FBI's $100,000 reward for information. And the White House offering to help the state of Maryland with a massive wastewater spill in the Potomac River. The White House said Wednesday that the president has directed federal authorities to assist in recovery efforts. Officials say more than 240 million gallons of raw sewage was released in last month's spill.
I can't even process what that volume looks like. I mean, what is that? Like, I don't even know. Do you have an Olympic swimming pool? I don't even know how many gallons. Let's see. Yeah, I'm actually looking it up because I was curious. Okay. So an Olympic-sized swimming pool, you know, which is enormous,
right,
is about 660,000 gallons. So this would be something on the order of 40 times that large. 40 Olympic swimming pools worth of sewage.
A pure raw sewage. Oh, man.
Oh, no. I think I did my math wrong.
I think it'd be more than that.
400 times. Yeah.
I would not be swimming in the Potomac.
Wow. Okay.
Not for a while.
Wow. All right. Well, I wasn't anyway. They have nice bridges there, but that's look at them from a distance and hold your nose while you're doing it. All right. So what are we going to do coming up next? I had something very – oh, customary use is going to be discussed at today's Escambia County Commission meeting. We'll give you some – commentary on that back and forth before the actual event.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9.